And as a Thursday, it's time to talk to the voice of the KU Jayhawks, Brian Haney, as he has been traveling all over the world covering the Jayhawks, whether it be football or basketball, and getting ready for a showdown tonight in the Big 12, Big East battle between those two conferences as KU hosting Seton Hall, which you can hear tonight, Z96.3 Lake, with the pregame show starting at 7:30. Brian, how you doing, my man?
Hey, doing well, Wade. Great to be on with you. Excited for tonight, and yeah, then we get a little bit of a break. You and I were just talking about that. It's been a grind for the month of November, and yeah, you get into December, and KU only has 5 games the whole month of basketball. Of course, we'll have a bowl game, too, and we find out on that on Sunday, but it's been a busy stretch for our players, for sure, and I know as finals approach, they're also kind of anticipating a little bit of a let-up on the schedule here after tonight.
Yeah, a test tonight at Seton Hall. We'll talk more about them coming up in a moment. Let me jump into a couple concerns that I have, and I think it's not just me. I think you probably have these concerns. I think everybody that follows KU basketball would have these same concerns, and I don't know which one is your biggest concern. So I'll let you tell me what you think is the biggest one. I mean, this team's off to a 7-1 start. They lost to Tennessee in the championship game, a battle for Atlantis. No shame in that. Tennessee's a very good team. I don't know which one's number one on my list. It's 1A and 1B. We've talked about one of them a little bit, and that is developing a low post scoring threat, because right now they don't really have a threat in the low post unless you actually post up maybe Jalen Wilson. But let me go to 1A for me right now, and this could change with every single game, and that is so much is on Jalen Wilson offensively, and a lot is on Grady Dick, and he's a freshman offensively, is finding that third consistent or third scoring option. I know McCullough's capable of scoring at times, so he's really not considered a bona fide scorer per se. MJ Rice looks like a kid that maybe could be that guy. But what about it, really, to me, showed up in the game against Wisconsin, and then, and of course, Pettiford, the game winner at the buzzer, which was amazing and awesome. And you had a great call, by the way, on that. And then the championship game against Tennessee, it really showed up that, you know, if Wilson has an off night, there's a lot put on his shoulders offensively. Grady Dick, we're expecting a freshman to just, you know, score 15 to 20 every night. That seems a little bit, you know, unlikely. Is that one of the bigger concerns for this team when you look at them, is trying to find a third consistent scoring option? Or maybe we only have one, and that's Jalen Wilson, because Grady Dick, of course, is going to have his ups and downs as a freshman?
Yeah, it's definitely, that's well said and well laid out. I think the hope is that, you know, hey, we're 8 games in. If we go off of last year's game count, and obviously you're not going to play 40 every year, but let's just do it because it's a round number, then we're 20% of the way in. And so definitely disappointed that the big man factor, the 5 position, hasn't come along a little quicker. Definitely eager to see the number 3 scorer emerge. But, you know, if this was baseball, we're in the bottom of the second inning.
Yeah.
So there's going to be time. And I think that by the time we get into mid-January, we can count on Grady Dick game in and game out, you know, to be the number 2, like you were talking about. And maybe MJ Rice is leaned on more heavily in that regard. I don't know that at any point this season MJ will fully be your bona fide, guaranteed number 3 scorer. It might be a deal where one night it's Kevin, one night it's MJ. But I think that Grady as the number 2 option, we should count on that, because I think he's already well on his way. And that doesn't mean there won't be hiccups and road bumps and all that. But I think that, you know, for a guy that scored the most points by a Kansas freshman through 5 games in 25 years, it's okay to assume that, you know, as he gets more and more practice time and more maturation, that he can be the number 2. But the fact that we're talking about leaning on a couple of freshmen for 2 of those 3, you know, scoring roles behind Wilson definitely speaks to how, you know, fresh and young and green this team is. And so, you know, that's why you and I were talking 6 weeks ago, and I said that there's going to be some growing pains with this club, because you've got so many, you know, young players playing big roles. And the fact that we're 7-1 right now, even though the Tennessee loss was ugly, I mean, Coach Self will tell you, he said it publicly, not sure they could have done much better in the first 8 games, 7-1, when you're breaking in all these new faces. So
yeah.
I would just say everything you said is true, and yet I'm not losing a ton of sleep over it, because we're so early in the season, and I really think in the month of December, these guys are going to grow up a lot because, you know, we always talk about how much teams improve between semesters when they just have basketball to focus on. Well, this month, even more so because there's so few games after tonight. I mean, today's the first of the month, right? Yeah. After that, four games the rest of the month. We got 9 days before we play Missouri after tonight. And so there's just a lot of practice time, which the guys may not love that as much, but Coach Self is fired up. And I heard him say to a group in Topeka the other day at a speaking engagement, man, he's so excited because for a coach, man, he loves that as much as the games when you've got a young team where you really need that kind of time to grow up. And so we'll see, but there's no coach in America I trust more than Bill Self to grow up the young guys, smooth out the rough edges, and get a club where it needs to be.
Yeah, that's what I said yesterday. I said, yeah, there's reason to be concerned about those 2 points, but in Self you trust because he usually gets it figured out, and I think you make some astute points there in regards to, hey, you know, we're only 1/5 away through the season here, and there's time to figure it out. Which one concerns you more, the lack of a post threat, a big man to score, or finding a reliable third scoring option?
Definitely the big man.
Yeah.
I think the third scoring option is going to come.
Yeah.
And like I said, it may be a different guy on a given night, Kevin, FJ, whoever. But I don't know. I don't want to say that I thought that Ernest would be farther along 8 games in, because at the end of the day, you know, he's a true freshman who's got all the athleticism in the world, but there's some aspects to his interior offensive game when he's not just catching lobs that definitely needs some seasoning. And I think we mentioned that back in October, that his post moves were still a work in progress. His touch, his feel around the basket was still a work in progress. And there were a lot of days where, you know, it was Zuby on a Monday that looked like the better freshman, and Ernest on a Tuesday, and Zuby on a Wednesday, and Ernest on a Thursday, and they were going back and forth. And yeah, that's a good thing because you got good competition there. But you're reminded of Udoka's freshman year, and of course he got hurt early in that season and we didn't see him in conference play, but he was a work in progress. And I think that Ernest is on a similar trajectory, which is exciting because how good was Doak at the end of it, right?
Oh, yeah.
But it's definitely reminding fans that as much as we were frustrated at times with David McCormick's inconsistency, as Bill Self said the other day, man, you'd kill to have his 12-8 right now if you count on that, because they can't count on anything consistently from the five spot. And I do think, though he is offensively limited and not a great free throw shooter, KJ has done above and beyond what I thought he would do coming in. He's had 3 games of 8 points, 1 game of 10 points the other night, and you know, he's mixing it up. But you want to have, you know, more imposing shot blocker, shot alterer back there. You want to have a more dominating rebounder back there. And that's where having someone with true size on the back line will be the ultimate answer for this team. But it's my hope that Ernest can grow up quickly, because he clearly has the highest ceiling of any of those guys.
Yeah.
And maybe the more I talk about it, I probably did think he'd be a little further along.
Sure.
But I also try to be realistic that, hey, man, you know, he's 18 years old and playing D1 major conference basketball. Like, let's cut him a little bit of slack, because in his first 8 games, half of them have been against projected NCAA tournament teams. You know, a couple of them are ranked. And so he really hasn't had much of a runway to kind of, you know, take off. You know what I'm saying? It's been jump into the deep end of the pool right out of the gate.
Absolutely. Brian Haney, voice of Jayhawks, with us every Thursday on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by the fine folks at Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Midland Boulevard, or call them today at 738-5701. How important is Joseph Yesufu right now with Bobby Pettiford out? He started the other night because McCullough, kind of a precautionary thing with him being out against Texas Southern. But, you know, he's a kid that I really liked when he was going to transfer to KU and leave Drake. He looked great in NCAA tournament, and I think a lot of people have been disappointed in how he hasn't maybe been as prominent of a player in the rotation, whether it be last year or this year. But to his credit, he didn't just bail after last year and go transfer to another school, and you certainly see flashes where he can really contribute to this team. I remember the game at Texas last year. I thought he played pretty well, especially on the defensive end. How important is he to this team in regards to the injury with Pettiford now and then maybe down the line?
I think he's super important, and he's really starting to settle in and get comfortable where he's not overthinking. He's just reacting and playing. And that's for everybody that comes here, whether you're a true freshman coming in like Ernest or a transfer that's played at a different level and now so much more is being expected of you here. He's settling in now. And so, you know, the guy that we saw that, you know, in the last chunk of the season for Drake, I think it was 23 a game over his last nine games during his swan song with Drake. And of course, he was a Cinderella, you know, NCAA story, you know, that spotlighted by CBS for a couple of their postseason games. We're starting to see why everybody was so excited about him, why there was hype there. And that's just after two 14-point games. It's not like he set the world on fire, but you see the burst. He's arguably pound-for-pound the best athlete on the team. He's shooting the ball with more confidence than he shot it at any point since he's been here. And Bill Self would say he's just getting it off quicker and more decisively. Last year there were times, and understandably so, when you're like the fifth scoring option on the floor, that he didn't look assertive because, well, there was Ochai, there was Christian, there were all these other great guys, David Wilson, David McCormick. Now he knows, particularly starting with the Tennessee game when you had injuries, foul trouble and all that, that, hey, they need me to be a spark. And so I think he's really understanding that, A, we believe in you, B, we've got a role for you now, so go fill it. And I think the confidence naturally is going up. And on top of that, and we don't talk a ton about this stuff, but he's the spiritual leader on this team. Coach had him bless the Thanksgiving meal in the ballroom of 100 people the other day. And, you know, I think that's an important role, too. And I think that gives him confidence as well. You know, the fact that he's found his identity on this team. And so all of these things are coming together for him. And it's not just new kid on the block now. Now it's, I've been here for 18 months. I've got a purpose. And I think he feels more settled and you're seeing better results.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm pulling for him big time because I've tried to put myself in his shoes. I mean, you go from being kind of a big deal, and granted, this happens for kids that are in high school, McDonald's All-Americans all the time, to come to Kansas, and they're just now, you got to find a way to fit in, you know, that type of thing. Usually don't set the world on fire right away as a freshman like Grady Dick has, at least offensively. And so I'm really pulling for him because I really like the kids that, granted, he transferred Drake to KU, but I like the kids that stick through and try to fight through adversity. And I think this is a kid that could have easily said, okay, I didn't play a lot last year, and we've seen guys do this at KU before or other institutions individually that just keep jumping from school to school. And so I like the fact that, you know, I think he'll get rewarded. And we've seen KU players many times in the past that maybe didn't play a lot their first or second year at KU get rewarded by sticking it out.
Yeah, I'm thinking of examples like Sam Cunliffe and people like that, you know, came in, didn't work out, ended up going to a smaller level than ever, mm-hmm. and finishing it out there because they wanted to be a part of it. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, shoot, you know, Eric Gilliard, the linebacker of the football team, entered the portal yesterday, and a lot of us were surprised. Then you think, you know what, it's his life, it's his career, and sure. If he wants to be guaranteed 40 snaps a game instead of 10 or 15, then he should. And so you don't doubt these kids, but for the ones that do stick it out and they end up getting a chance to not only win a championship ring like Joe got, but end up playing a considerable role because they didn't just mail it in and they kept betting on themselves. You love seeing those success stories, and I think Yesupu's about to become one. But I'll be honest with you, at the end of last season, and maybe even earlier this preseason, just looking at how much talent we had at the time before injuries started happening, I'll be honest, I kind of wondered if it was going to work with Joe. Mm-hmm. But he's kept grinding every day, and guys start to go down with injury, and next thing you know, opportunity knocks, and he's absolutely answered the call.
No doubt. All right, Seton Hall, what's the scouting report on them? KU plays them tonight, 7:30 pregame, tip-off at 8 in Allen Fieldhouse.
Yeah, you know, Shaheen Holloway is their coach coming back to his alma mater. There's a lot of excitement about what he brings, and I think this, it's a good team. Not a great team. We've certainly had tougher matchups in this Big East, Big 12 battle. It's a club that's athletic, but, you know, you hate to compare scores too much, but Oklahoma got these guys by 13 or 14 on a neutral floor. And Oklahoma's good, by the way. But I do think that, you know, this is a game that, though we are shorthanded and Kevin McCullough could be out again tonight for a second consecutive game, I still think Kansas on its home floor should be able to win this one by double digits. I think that's pretty much right, exactly where Vegas has it as a 10-point game. But they've got three guys that average double figures. They're not, you know, imposing in any one particular category, but they're really solid throughout. Alamir Dodds is their top scorer at 12 a game. But I think that for Kansas, play your style. You know, beat a team that's it's a brand name, but it's not like this is Nova or something. So to go out there, handle your business. It'll certainly be tougher than some of the recent home games we've had, but it's not going to be as tough as your next two games. You look at KenPom.com right now, and I hate to scare Kansas fans with this, but he does a lot of advanced metrics on win predictability and win percentage and all that. And the game in Columbia is a 53% chance of winning, all right? And we beat those guys by 40 a year ago. Mm-hmm. And obviously, when Indiana comes to town, I mean, that's two tradition-rich programs and you know, two top 15 teams. So the next two are going to get really tough. I think this is a nice intermediate step between Monday and then the next two. So that's not to undersell them at all, but I think this is a game we should handle our business and win by double figures.
All right, let's turn to football for a quick moment. What were your impressions after the Sunflower Showdown on Saturday night? I mean, it seems like when KU and K-State play in football, that K-State always wins special teams. They always win special teams, and it seems, I might be exaggerating here, but it just seems to me that when KU and K-State play, KU makes some big-time mistakes in special teams, whether it's unlucky or not, and it really turns the game. And, of course, I'm pointing to the early fumble and a punt return that if that doesn't happen, that game could very well have been different, but it didn't, and K-State made KU pay for that, and K-State seems to always have the advantage in special teams. What stood out to you from that game Saturday?
It's like you're in my head. It's exactly how I saw it, and I even called it that way. And you don't mean to sound dramatic, but it's true. When you've been watching it for 30 years, I said it's like the horror movie that you know the ending, and you know the person's going to get killed, and you can't take your eyes off the screen. You watch it anyway, and that's what happens in special teams. I mean, yeah. I remember going there 4 years ago, and we punted to them twice with one of the most electric punt returners in the country, and they returned two of them for touchdowns in the second half, or in the first half of the game before we even got to halftime.
Yes.
Two in one half, and it's like, just kick it away from them. Don't give them a chance to return it. Kick it out of bounds, you know. But that's K-State. I mean, and it's not just against us. They do this to a lot of teams. They're, for the last 30 years, top three nationally in non-offensive touchdowns, mm-hmm. whether it's, you know, a pick six or a kick return, punt return, whatever. They're just so good. But to your point, it seems like within the Sunflower Showdown, they feast on Kansas' special teams mistakes more than any. And we knew heading into the week that we weren't in a good spot with kicker and punter, and special teams had been a struggle. But then to have it happen in punt return and kick return, we spotted them 9 points because Trevor Wilson on kick return the next time decides to take it out of the end zone. Yeah. It gets caught on the 9-yard line, and there's a penalty on top of that, which puts it at 4, and then we end up giving up a safety. And so, darned if we weren't playing from 9 points back the rest of the game at that arm's distance. And, you know, somebody said to me, well, we gave them those points. It wasn't like their special teams were so dominant that that's how they got them. And that's true, but that's part of what makes K-State special teams so good. Right. They rarely make those types of mistakes. And sometimes being the team that just, you know, holds the line and doesn't make a self-inflicted wound gives you the upper hand in a phase of the game, and that was the case. So disappointed for sure, but on the positive side of things, Jalen Daniels looked like the guy we saw in September. He was running the ball again. He was executing the option pitches with great angles he takes, and it just looked like a guy that was willing to play full-blown football, not just stay in the pocket and try to stay upright and don't get hit type football, which at times the first game back, I think they had him a little more reeled in, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so he looked good. I thought Craig Young and Lonnie Phelps looked more explosive. I mean, this looked like a team to me, Wade, that was finally getting healthy, and now, you know, you're going to get 3 or 4 weeks to really get healthy. And I would say look out for Kansas, whoever the matchup is against. You know, of course, both teams will have a chance to heal up, but for us, some of our most impactful and disruptive players were guys that weren't close to 100% in the second half of the season, and they will be in the bowl game, and that's really, really exciting. So, yeah, we got some special team woes to clean up for sure, but offensively and defensively, I feel like, you know, we should be very encouraged and somewhat expectant that the Kansas will show out really well in the bowl game as they finally get closer to full health. And, you know, we're hearing at this point that Phoenix and Memphis are the two most likely. That's not to say Dallas and Fort Worth with the, you know, ServPro First Responders Bowl and the Armed Forces Bowl, not to say that those two aren't still in play, but Guaranteed Rate and Liberty seem like the two stronger possibilities at this point, and that's just the word on the street. But we'll find out for sure on Sunday. Word may leak out on Saturday, but Jayhawk fans looking to make bowl plans and all that, you know, be by your computer on Sunday afternoon. There'll be an official announcement at that point.
Come on, Jayhawk fans, if you're listening right now, be honest with yourself. Did you ever dream we'd be talking about waiting to see what bowl game KU is going to be going to play and who they're going to play against? I mean, it is amazing turnaround. And yes, 5-0 start, ended up 6-6. But, I mean, from two wins to six wins and then a lot of experience coming back next year, there's reason to be very, very, very excited if you're a Jayhawk fan about KU football going into next year. And, of course, Coach Leipold's locked up and a new contract and everything else. So, really good things going for KU football despite the loss to K-State. All right, Brian, time for the off-the-wall question. You've been flying a lot, obviously, to the Bahamas and back. You're doing basketball, then football. Do you recall your worst airplane or airport experience?
Well, it involves Kansas men's basketball, so I probably shouldn't tell the story too much. But, but it made national news because we had a staffer that decided to take video out the window of one of the plane engines that had given out.
Oh,
next thing
right.
You know, but by the time we have an emergency landing, you know, it's on the cover of USA Today. But you know, it was one of those moments, and it was a chartered flight leaving Palo Alto. We just played Jared Haas, Stanford, and thankfully we hadn't gone over the Rockies yet because they had to turn it around and land on one engine, and we landed an hour or two south of where we took off from. I mean, it was a, I hate to use the term emergency landing, but it was a get this sucker back home to a runway somewhere type thing. But it was a little scary. And yet, you know, it wasn't one of those kiss the ground moments either because I thought the pilots and the crew handled it really, really well. But there were definitely some people with some racing hearts, and I certainly was saying a prayer or two in that moment. But yeah, you take for granted, for those of us that travel a lot, that every single time everything's going to work. Sometimes they don't. But that was a little bit dicey that day. And yet, you know, Kansas, thanks to the generosity of our donors, you know, we have the ability to have some of the best travel experiences 99.999% of the time. And thankfully, in that instance, it wasn't overly concerning. But that was definitely a race the heart a little bit moment there. About 4 years ago now, I think it was. 3 years, maybe.
Yeah, I had forgotten about that. Yeah, that would easily be at the top of your list, I would imagine, no doubt. Well, we are glad you made it back safely from the Bahamas, and we look forward to the call tonight between Seton Hall and KU, and I know you'll be able to catch maybe just a little bit of a break and catch your breath after tonight, so we appreciate everything you do for KU, and we appreciate everything you do for us as well, being on every Thursday, and we look forward to talking again next week.
Yeah, these are always a blast, Wade. Thanks so much, my friend. I appreciate you, and we'll talk to you next week about where we're headed in bowl season and what we can expect in that matchup. That should be fun.
Sounds like a plan. Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you each and every Thursday by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701.